you know, the entrepreneurs love it because they're raising capital from healthcare professionals that believe in what they're doing. The investors love it because they get access to high quality deal flow. And then you build this community around all of it where the entrepreneurs and the investors are helping each other to build these kind of social impact products as well.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Digital Health Entrepreneurship. My name is Seth Silvers and I'm here with Lawrence Gerard. And today we're going to talk about something that we've mentioned before on the podcast, but we haven't really gone deep into this concept of crowdfunding in regards to the healthcare industry. So Lawrence, tell us what is going on in your world that makes you want to talk about this.
Sure. Well, Fruit Street has successfully raised over $25 million over the last 6 years by advertising to healthcare professionals through social media that want to invest in Fruit Street in order to have a social impact in public health using telemedicine. And over the years, I've had hundreds of entrepreneurs ask me to help them raise capital from healthcare professionals instead of venture capital firms. And it happened yet again about 2 weeks ago. And I thought maybe it's time to pursue that in a more formal way. So I've been talking with some of our investors about launching an equity crowdfunding platform called healthcareshares.com that we're considering launching. And the idea would be to create an equity crowdfunding platform that is essentially a community of, say, 100,000 healthcare professionals. So doctors, nurses, dietitians, psychologists, other types of healthcare professionals that want to make small investments into these social impact healthcare startups. And so that is kind of what we're thinking, to give entrepreneurs an alternative to venture capital firms.
Right. And so this would be specifically like healthcare focused, like startups that don't necessarily just want like, you know, VCs and private equity firms to invest in them, but they're actually looking for like healthcare professionals, for doctors to invest in them. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And the idea would be that the healthcare professionals wouldn't just be investors, but they could be advisors to the company afterward. They might be customers of these entrepreneurs as well. Maybe it's a software product that a dietitian or doctor would use in their practice as well. And so it wouldn't just be financial capital, it would be intellectual capital, where these clinicians would help to support the startups as they develop their companies, because it's very important to get feedback from your end user, which is often the healthcare professional, in building these products.
Right. So help us to understand like the kind of the benefit of having healthcare professionals invest in healthcare companies. You've seen this with Fruit Street, like you said, with raising over $25 million from health professionals. Why is that more advantageous than just, you know, going to San Francisco and trying to get money from all the venture capital firms?
So one reason is this article. So Vinod Khosla is one of the most famous venture capitalists in the world. He started Sun Microsystems. So he was quoted saying that 70 to 80% of VCs add negative value to startups, which is surprising to most people. So if we just read a little bit of this article, someone asked him, who is the venture capitalist who is the most full of shit that you've heard? And he says, I would be offending too many people, Khosla retorted. Maybe some percentage that's substantially larger than 95% of VCs add zero value. I would bet that 70 to 80% add negative value to a startup in their advising. And so the issue is that venture capitalists more often than not destroy companies because they do things like they fire the founders, or they're too focused on the short term, or they want to artificially sell the company before it's ready to be sold. And they don't have necessarily experience on the front lines of healthcare. And their motives are more profit driven than having a social impact. And so when you have healthcare professionals involved, it's kind of like they all took the Hippocratic Oath, right? So they're going to treat the employees of the company well, the company itself well, and that kind of thing. But they're also motivated by having a social impact and not just the financial return, which is what healthcare really should be. But then like in Fruit Street's case, for example, a lot of our investors want to be telemedicine providers, or they want to license the software and use it in their practice. And so you can get more valuable feedback from them because they're actually using the products. instead of just, you know, having one big investor be, you know, your sounding board, you can get input from hundreds or thousands of healthcare professionals instead of one person. So it's kind of like crowdsourced knowledge.
Yeah. Do you have like a story or two of where you've gotten pretty critical advice or guidance from one of your investors that, I mean, if they didn't have experience in the healthcare industry, they would certainly not have had that advice to give.
Mm-hmm. It's not always advice. Sometimes it's just that they're acting as a sales network. So we had one of our investors introduce us to a strategic partner, which was Purple Carrot, which is a plant-based meal kit. And that became part of the Fruit Street program. So sometimes it's just a helpful introduction like that. In other cases, we've had physicians that are also researchers where they've helped us analyze our data and actually publish an abstract on the outcomes for our diabetes prevention program. So they have that kind of experience. And then one of our investors recently became the medical director for our urgent care product, where he's now actually working on the company part-time and helping to design the electronic medical record system and clinical protocols and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's awesome. And it's really, I mean, it's clear that having people that understand your industry, being the investors in your industry, makes sense. And even, you know, when you see Shark Tank and you see certain products come on and, you know mm-hmm. that it's an industry that Mark Cuban has experience in, like, why would they not want an investor that has that experience?
Right.
This is a little bit more like promoting crowdfunding though. Like, it's a little bit more of, rather than having a few key mm-hmm. investors that give you all the money, it's, you know, more, okay, great. What would it look like for us to have 100 or 500 or 1,000 investors?
Right.
Help us understand this concept of equity crowdfunding. What is it?
Sure. So, the Jobs Act was passed, under the Obama administration, which did several things. The first thing it did was lift the ban on general solicitation. So you can now advertise to investors under Regulation 506C, which allows you to raise capital from accredited investors. So people that raise, people that have over $200,000 of income, and there's other ways they can qualify as well. But the other thing that it did was, it was under Title III of the Jobs Act, which was Regulation CF, where now non-accredited investors could invest. So even someone that's making $30,000, $50,000, $80,000 a year could invest into a startup and get access to this attractive asset class of venture capital. Mm-hmm. So basically, startups can raise up to $1 million a year from the public. Really, anyone can invest. And that could even be an amount of $100, $500, $1,000, really any amount. They're also raising that limit from 1 million to 5 million next year, which is very significant because a lot of the deals in the US fall under that $5 million amount, whereas there's often deals that go above $1 million. So there's now these essentially SEC registered portals that you have to raise capital through for Regulation CF offerings. You can't just do a Reg CF offering on your own. You have to apply to a crowdfunding portal like Seed Invest or Start Engine. I think there's about 40 or 50 now, and there's a whole process where they get approved. And the business model of these crowdfunding portals is that they will take a percentage of the capital raised as a fee. It might be 7%, 10%, 12%. Sometimes they take some of their fee in cash and sometimes some in stock. But basically, Regulation CF would allow a nurse to invest $100. Whereas under 506C, it might be limited to, cardiologists that are investing $50,000 and $100,000, but you're not getting the perspective of that nurse that might want to invest $100 or the dietitian that wants to invest $100. And some nurses and dietitians do invest $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 as well, but more often than not, they're in a slightly lower income bracket. And so you miss out on getting them as investors as well. And so you might have a nurse that sees a product that, you know, she would love to use in her practice and just believes in it and might want to provide financial support to that company. Under the old regulations, mm-hmm. they would not be able to invest in the company.
So is that kind of the business model that you guys are considering with your platform is going to kind of be a percentage-based model?
Yeah, certainly. The idea is that these platforms become valuable as you build up an investor base. So let's say, you were to have 100,000 registered investors on the platform, And let's say that each one were to invest, $100 per year, which is pretty small amount. That would get you to about $10 million a year in capital raise, and the fees would be around $1 million. But you know, the entrepreneurs love it because they're raising capital from healthcare professionals that believe in what they're doing. The investors love it because they get access to high quality deal flow. And then you build this community around all of it where the entrepreneurs and the investors are helping each other to build these kind of social impact products as well. And you could even have, you know, patients invest in these technologies. I mean, they're not all, we're not going to, you know, forbid people that are not healthcare professionals to invest. There might be, you know, patients that just want to invest in good healthcare ideas that might affect, you know, their friends, family, or community members as well, which is another interesting stakeholder to have as an investor.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's less of like, okay, you have to prove that you're a healthcare professional to be an investor on the platform. And it's more a community of healthcare focused businesses that are all looking for crowdfunding. I'm curious to like, what would you, you know, if I'm an investor and I know that 10% of what I give is going to go to your platform, why wouldn't I just like give you $100 on the platform and then off the platform, give you $1 million?
Well, let's see. Interesting question. Well, depending on the offering, that might not be an available option. So for example, if you're not an accredited investor, you're not allowed to invest unless it's through a crowdfunding portal.
Okay. Yeah. And that's where I think like a lot of your expertise comes in, is where, you know, these hundreds of business owners who have asked you for help raising money, where there's just a lot of things people, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So I think part of the benefit of that platform would be the expertise and the guidance that they would get. Are there any other equity crowdfunding platforms out there like this that exist, whether in the healthcare industry or other industries?
I think there's maybe one other one that does a little bit in healthcare. I'm not sure if it's exclusive, so I don't want to say the name since I'm not 100% sure. But I would say that most of them are more broad, where they will do any deal. You know, they'll do everything under the sun, from financial services to healthcare to consumer products. So none of them are really focused around this idea of like social impact healthcare investing, from what I've seen.
Right.
And they're not really like a community of healthcare professionals. So it does seem to be the first of its kind, this idea.
And you guys, I mean, Fruit Street has a network of a lot of doctors. You have a lot of connections in the healthcare world. Why does this make sense for you guys? Like, why would you guys be kind of the right ones to launch this platform, as opposed to just somebody, you know, somebody else who has a good idea that's similar?
Yeah. Well, I guess we're still debating, myself and the investors, whether or not this should be like a Fruit Street subsidiary, or if this is just, you know, Lawrence's next venture after we sell Fruit Street for, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars soon. Right. So we'll see. But I guess in terms of me personally, I think I have not met anyone or heard of anyone that has raised this amount of capital from healthcare professionals in 6 years. I mean, I think I might be, you know, one of the top, if not the top person in the world at using social media to raise capital from healthcare professionals under these regulations. I've never heard anyone even coming close. I mean, I've talked to entrepreneurs that maybe have raised a couple $1 million from doctors they know in their local community, but the scale that we're at in terms of the ability to do this, I feel like it's kind of, you know, perfected over the years. And, you know, even if we sell Fruit Street, I'm sure there's going to be, you know, some of our investors that want to invest in the next venture and that kind of thing. Right. But I'll probably be dead when we sell Fruit Street. So anyway.
Well, hopefully not, because you need to enjoy a little bit of the spoils.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know there's that other CEO, is Jack Dorsey, that he was running Twitter and Square at the same time.
So. Yeah. I've heard some pretty wild stories about how he was, he's like an anti, the way that he runs things like goes against like all like common thought and expertise of like how to be a productive human. Cause like there's all these thoughts about like, okay, you should structure your day this way and, you know, cut out the, like, don't make yourself available. And I think that he had like either, it was either across like Square was on, or Twitter was on one side of the street and Square was on the other, or there were different floors. And he like just breaks all the rules. He's available to all of his people. He works all the time. And he's a little bit of an anomaly. So he's
he's a good example. I need to check that out in more detail.
Yeah, like I've read several books that are talking about like how to be successful and how to be like how to like structure your day well as a business owner. And then they're like, and then there's Jack Dorsey.
Interesting.
And then there's the other people. Fruit Street has been experiencing, like you guys have been experiencing a lot of success with your current model. Share a little bit about kind of how this would be building on Fruit Street's model of success if you guys chose to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically that, you know, we've just been running experiments on social media for the last 6 years in terms of, equity crowdfunding. And so we know what works and we know what doesn't work. But we also know how to build a community of healthcare professionals around an entrepreneur through tools like we have a software called Basecamp where, you know, I'm posting updates, getting feedback from investors, we're having Zoom meetings periodically. So we also know what to do after healthcare professionals invest in order to keep them engaged. And so, you know, we have all the expertise. I mean, I just spoke with a crowdfunding lawyer recently, and in order to make a crowdfunding successful, he said that there's three stools to it or legs to it. It was technology, marketing, and I think legal was the last one. And so if you do those three, you're good. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea. I mean, when we launched this idea, is yet to be finalized. Technically still in the exploratory stages of if I use the word we, but you know, what is we? Is it me? Is it me and some of our investors? Is it a Fruit Street project eventually? It could be any of the above. I mean, nothing's out of the question, but I've just started to explore it in a little bit more detail because it is, there's a big need for this. I mean, it could become like the go-to way that healthcare entrepreneurs raise early stage capital. I mean, venture capitalists are just like, I mean, it's just one of the categories of people that I've interacted with over the last 6 years where I just find them to be completely illogical. You know, there's always a reason why they don't want to invest, right? It'll either be that you have too much revenue, you have too little revenue, you've raised too much capital, you've raised too little capital, right? You have too many investors on your cap table, we don't invest in this sector. And then you get with healthcare professionals and they're just like, yeah, I'm ready to go. I want to invest tomorrow and I want to improve healthcare and I want to collaborate with you. I mean, the real venture capitalists of healthcare today are angel investors that are clinicians that are writing these $25,000 and $50,000 and $100,000 checks. I mean, venture capital in the healthcare industry has become more like banking. It's extremely boring and they don't take any risks. So it's quite frustrating for entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Well, I think this certainly sounds like, I mean, it'd be a really, really valuable solution for healthcare entrepreneurs and just really needed for the industry to be able to provide some of the expertise that you and your team have learned and just be able to share that expertise and help other people to raise more money. So you'll have to keep us posted on when you pull the trigger on it.
Yes, sir. I will keep you updated.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, till next time. Thanks for joining us, Lawrence.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Digital Health Entrepreneurship with Lawrence Gerard. If you haven't already, take a look at some of our other episodes and leave a review on your favorite podcasting platform. We will see you tomorrow on Digital Health Entrepreneurship.